Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
So, Nettie, what are you up to?
Well, not a lot, really, because I've been on holiday.
It's August, obviously. Where have you been? Somewhere
I've been
nice.
To Greece.
Greece? Whereabouts?
Greece, Zante.
I beg your pardon?
Zante.
I only asked.
Whatever. Anyway, it was lovely. It was hot. I drank a lot of cocktails because they made me.
I know.
They made me.
I'm staggered.
Me too.
I did.
And I came back to like this massive inbox of emails that I've gone through.
Right.
And now I've got to start doing the real job again.
Yeah. Mm. Now, the easiest way we know is just delete them all.
That's what I've done. All the ones from you. Don't expect
to
reply.
Yeah, don't answer.
So, you know, that was that. So, really, what have I done? Since you last saw me, not a lot, because that was the day before I went on holiday.
Yeah, I know. So you've been away for a month.
No, it was a 3-week gap, you see.
So how do you recover from being away on holiday? Because we don't know, because we don't
go on holiday.
But how do you recover and start to get your business back up with power and gusto, Nettie?
I think you become more refreshed when you've been on holiday. Actually, I find that by the end of 2 weeks, I am ready to get back in that chair and
good
get on
Lord.
With it. I do. I honestly, I'm not making that up.
No.
I think you need it, and I think if you have a break, you're actually more productive. It's a bit like when
it lost me there.
Well, I think it's when you have staff that don't take lunch hours. I'm not saying you have to take a whole hour, but if people don't break in the middle of the day, they run out of steam.
Mm.
If they stop, have a cup of coffee,
I'll have a little nap,
walk away from their desk, well, you would at your age. Mm-hmm. But if you do that... I honestly think it does you more good. Ben, just laugh out loud. You know you want to.
Yeah, go on. I don't care.
Winston Churchill used to take naps.
Yeah.
And Margaret
Thatcher.
And
they look so similar, don't they?
Yeah, and we're the same age.
I'm trying to say
age.
It's
genius
of it, Nettie. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I don't practice what I preach. I rarely take lunch, but I make sure my team do.
I think
you need it. But no, that's how I get back on with it. I just get back on with it, really.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just think it's really interesting when I
hear talking to her anymore.
When I see so many people going on holiday, I am surprised at how little gets done in August. I really am. But for me, then I take advantage of that in a business.
That's what
you
have to do. Yeah.
But I just think, okay, so we go away on holiday, but then how do I take my energy now up to another level? Because I know you're refreshed and recuperated and recovered, but then, okay, now how do I come back into a business that maybe I'm having to really slog into treacle?
Again, if you've got the right team around you, the right people around you, you go on holiday with everything, you know what's in your diary. You can't preempt what's going to crop up ever, but you know what's in your diary. You can organise that to a point. You can brief people properly about who you'll see and how quickly. You're not going to avoid people. You'll still see them. Or they can see someone else.
Yeah, but I think it's good.
You just have to be really organised and strict with yourself.
Absolutely. Mm. So.
There you go.
Thank you for that.
Did that answer the question?
It does.
If only I practised everything I preach, I don't do the lunch hours. But maybe I'll have one next week or something. What do you think?
Snapchat is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, she's playing with filters again.
She's snorkeling right now.
Yeah.
It's great. You've got to get on this. I tell you, you're missing a treat.
I'll tell you what though, Bird, you can make it look like you've had a holiday. If you put that with some strange backgrounds, you could be scuba diving
look at
in
my
the Caribbean.
Eyes. Isn't that amazing? Is everybody on Snapchat?
No.
Jay, I knew you would be.
I'm totally on Snapchat.
I love it.
I can't work Snapchat.
Oh, it's great.
You're on it? He doesn't know he's on it, but I often put him on it.
I did a radio show in New York before Christmas with Ken Heron, and he was talking about Snapchat when it first started getting really thing. And he turned to me, live on the radio, and he's gone, "So you on Snapchat?" And I went, "Well, I downloaded the app, but I couldn't work out how to use it." And he looked at me sadly, and then he went, "What I'm talking about today is how old people can't work out how to use Snapchat." Oh, cheers, mate. Thank you.
But I also have that bit emoji. So you make a little cartoon of yourself, which is so much fun.
I know, I've got one.
It's childish.
It's childish if you ask me.
It's another platform to communicate on. That's what it is. Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that. Nettie, I'd like you to tell us who you bought for us this week.
I've brought with me Loris Clements this week, who's, I'm going to let her tell her own story, really, because she's a very interesting lady with blue hair.
Absolutely.
She's one of my clients, and I think, I'm not talking out of school, I think Lawrence and I get on pretty well, don't we?
I would think so.
I would think so. Yeah. So I'll let her tell you the story of Lawrence.
Cool. Well, so, Lawrence, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
I have interviewed you before, but you weren't in the studio. I interviewed you on the road somewhere, and we played that little interview with you. So it's an absolute pleasure to actually get you in the studio and to dive in a bit more about what you do, because what you do is very interesting. Why don't you tell the listener what it is that you do?
I will do, and thank you for inviting me on the show. I'm a copywriter and brand consultant, and I run a little network of freelance copywriters with a focus on making words work harder for local businesses.
Because words are important at the moment, aren't they? Especially with the rise of social media and how much stuff there is about and how many blogs and, and content is everything, as we know.
Absolutely.
And if you can't write, you've got no content, really.
Pretty much. Mm. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk about, do words still matter when everybody's doing
video? Yeah, you could put pictures of you wearing a snorkel, sort of, couldn't you? You could just use a picture of you wearing a snorkel, but that's limited in its appeal.
Have a certain appeal. Great. But yeah, when you want to write about your business, and there is so much noise out there on so many different platforms. Mm. One of the things that we help people to do is to make that work better, find the right voice for their business so that people really understand who they are and can understand what they can do for them.
If you don't mind, can we kind of deconstruct that and see how it works? So if I came to you and I said, I need some words, Loris, I need words, and you'd have a word with me about that.
I have several.
So, I mean, what are the options for me coming to you, if I said, right, I've written this, but nobody read it, would you go, that's because it's rubbish, Paul, and you need to rewrite it, which it would be.
Mm-hmm. That could be one of the starting points. So some things that we do, people have written their own, they've written their own stuff, they're not really happy with it, they're not sure that they've done the right job, so we take it and make it better.
Yeah.
So we work on
you
it.
Breathe life into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But also, a lot of the time, it's about people really knowing who it is that they're writing for.
Right.
Because part of the problem is that, particularly when people are trying to write for their own business, you get really kind of hooked into what's going on inside your own business rather than thinking about who your customer is and what they're interested in. Mm. So one of the things we do quite a lot of is taking what a business owner has written and then just restructuring it a bit so it's got a bit more appeal to their target audience, to their customer.
Right.
So it's actually talking direct to people rather than with this sort of very internal perspective, which it's really easy to do when you're so close to your own business.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's about making it readable, basically, for the people that should be reading it.
Yeah. Relevant, interesting, attention grabbing, so that it cuts through all of that stuff that's out there.
I have no idea what you're going to say here. Probably just laugh at me. Is there any kind of style that you normally use to write in? People talk about third person and stuff like that. Is there a particular style, or does it depend very much on what it is you're doing?
It absolutely depends on what you're doing, because as a writer, you've got to be able to adopt a different voice depending on which brand you're writing for or which individual and what the piece is that you're doing. So, sometimes you might be writing something really chatty, which may very well be for social media or a blog post or something like that, and then you might need to switch to something completely corporate for a different brand because you're speaking to a completely different audience and trying to write something really serious and informative as opposed to something just kind of chatty and engaging. So it just varies with everything you write.
Okay, that's cool, and I get that. In terms of the type of platforms that you write for, we've mentioned social media and blogs and things like that, which are fairly obvious now because there's a lot there, and website material, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you write for magazines and newspapers?
Yeah, pretty much anything. What I should probably explain is it's not just me in the business. I've got a network of other freelance copywriters, and between us, we've got experience of writing for pretty much anything. Mm. So, we've done books, we've done journals, we've done brochures, websites, social media. And as a writer, you really need to be able to adapt your style to
absolutely
anything that comes along, really.
Do you do press releases?
Yep.
Press releases drive me nuts.
press releases are great because they have to be short and tell the story straight
up front. I wish.
Yeah.
I get loads of press releases on the show here. People send me press releases, and of course they're lazy. They send me the press releases that they send to the newspapers and magazines. Mm-hmm. So they're covered in pictures, which just do not work on the radio.
A bit like blue hair.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But the problem I have with it is the piece that they write refers to the picture all the time in the writing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it completely destroys it as a useful thing on the radio. And I tend to see the same things over and over and over and over again, which is also a bit annoying. So you write press releases.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you got any tips for people thinking about communicating with the press about press releases? Sorry to put you on the spot.
That's fine. I guess communicating with the press is that's just another audience and just another reader, really. So the biggest tip when you're writing anything is to think about who you're actually writing for. Mm. Who do you want to read this? What are they going to be interested in? Mm. And what's going to make them actually read it? Usually that's the headline. Mm. So you've really got to be able to...
Like Freddie Starr ate my hamster, that
exactly.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're either going to be interested in that or you're not.
Yeah.
But it tells you instantly what the story is going to be about. Mm. And that really is the biggest tip for writing anything. There are lots of more detailed things that you can talk about. The kind of headlines that are most popular for blog posts and that sort of thing. But it's really just think about who's going to read it and what they're going to be interested in.
I find it interesting because I'm a writer, I'm an author. I write every day. I'm just writing my next book. I've been researching my book after mm-hmm. that. I write blogs. I write my talks. I write press releases. I do all of that. And yet you call yourself a copywriter. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I'm thinking, well, what's the difference really between you and I?
Okay. That's a really good question because you're a business owner who does your own writing.
Yeah.
The difference between me and you is that I'm a professional copywriter and I write for lots of different people, whereas you write for your own business. That doesn't mean that you're not a professional writer, though,
no.
because you are, because you're writing your own books. The difference between us is that I have to be able to very quickly jump in and understand somebody else's business, I guess.
Yeah.
A copywriter, it's a good question as well, because actually I always think copywriter is a really crap job title.
Yes.
It's
That's
rubbish.
What I'm trying to say, because you're a writer, my darling.
Yeah.
And I just think that comes with a whole different emotion than a copywriter.
There's also a confusion because a lot of people think I do copywriht law,
intellectual
property and stuff.
Yeah.
So we usually have to get that one out of the way quite quickly in a conversation as well. Mm. But a professional writer like you've been doing with your work, you're a researcher, you're a project manager, you're a planner. Sorry, Paul, I know you don't like planning as much,
I have to plan a
brand expert, a marketing expert. You have to be all of those things. In
I
life.
Like you,
and that's why.
Oh, we got a love fest going on there.
Oh, oh. Wonderful! But I just think it's really interesting that title of copywriter. Mm. I've got an online program that is all email based. So, mm-hmm. and I thought, I caught myself saying it the other day. I must get a copywriter to actually just give it a bit of an oomph with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's just not a very nice title because I just want another writer to come in, and that's what I see is a copywriter is a writer, but just helping maybe somebody else with their platform already.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as much about having that third party sort of external view of it, so that you can come in and say, well, yeah, you've written this and it's great, but actually, I've got a different perspective on
it. It's like a buddy, a writing buddy, isn't it?
And I can look at it from the outside, whereas you're looking at it from the inside out. I can look at it from the outside.
And my eyes
in.
Are blind to it now. That's the thing; they really are. Mm. I was just talking to Jane Franklin yesterday. Mm. I had a Skype call meeting with her. She's a cybersecurity global women expert. I mean, she's amazing. And we were talking. She said, "Bert, I am so bored with reading my words, the spaces in between the words. Do you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm blind to it now. You need fresh eyes. You need that person who loves work, who loves words, who is a wordsmith. That's a better title.
Wordsmith.
Maybe. I suppose, you know, as a writer, I ought to be able to come up with a really good job title. Doing it, writing for yourself and doing that kind of stuff yourself is one of the hardest jobs.
I bet you haven't got a brochure or anything, have you?
I do, actually. Oh, okay. Yeah. But do you know how long, do you want to learn, know how long it took me?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, about 6 months.
Really?
I bet. Did you get somebody to copy, you know, to literally put fresh eyes on it?
Yeah, I got somebody to edit it for me. Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, cool. Look, we could talk about this forever because words are so important, especially now with the amount of content that's trying to find its space out there in the world. So it's a really fascinating topic. Sadly, we're fast running out of time. It's just gone so quickly. Loris, if people want to find out more about the work you do and to get in contact with you and get engaged with you, how can they do that?
You can have a look on my website, which is lorisclements.com. I'm on Twitter, at lorisclements. I broke with tradition a bit on the Facebook page and called it Let's Have Words, but you can find me on Facebook
Let's
as well.
Have Words. I like that. It's nice and bossy, isn't it? Let's have words.
Absolutely.
It's the kind of thing that Bird says to me after the show.
I'm not bossy.
Loris, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for bringing Loris along. Loris's website, if you didn't write that down, can be found on the Kent Business Radio website, and it will be there forever. So just look at show number 338, and the website link will be there, and you can find out about it. Loris, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll even write the introduction for it by Friday.
Will you?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to get Loris to do it? It'll be far better.
It would be, but then it would look so much better than all the others.
It would, actually, and then you'd have to redo them all, wouldn't you, really?
The 338 shows.
Yeah.
We'll give it a go.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.